The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Football Friday on The Fan.
It's a man's game now.
This is a Football Friday edition of Danny and Dusty.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Football Friday with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
We have great expectations.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Football Friday. Thank you for being part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, wherever you may be listening. We're talking about the growth of Lamar Jackson and the incredible level that he's playing at right now. 24 touchdown passes, only two interceptions on the year. He's got a quarterback rating of 123. He's pushing the ball down the field. He's playing well in the pocket. His legs are still as dangerous as ever. And he's getting his flowers because of it. The guy that I just can't believe, we brought him up a few times this week, including earlier in the show, that for whatever reason, he just never gets brought up in those conversations about being one of the best quarterbacks in the league, is Jared Goff.
Yes.
What more does Jared Goff need to do?
He needs to do another reality series where he gets to redeem his character arc.
Of just not knowing where the sun rises and sets.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that might be it. But think about where Jared Goff is right now. And he has got, I love the criticism of Jared Goff is like, well, anybody could perform well in that offense. Could they?
No.
Could everybody complete 75% of their passes in the National Football League? I mean, and you tell me, Brock Purdy is the darling of the NFL. Nobody has better weapons than he has.
No.
Nobody has a better left tackle than him.
And every time one of those weapons disappears, Brock Purdy falls down that ladder a little bit. I think we've seen that now. Like, people wanted to say, oh, you just don't believe. And it's like, well, he's good.
I love Brock Purdy.
Look, I'm not saying he's cheeks.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that when he doesn't have his full complement of multiple, like, first ballot Hall of Fame type caliber players all available at the same time, he looks average.
Yes.
Jared Goff has looked good regardless of situation.
Yeah. And
hell, even with the Rams,
he went to a Super Bowl. Now, they lost that Super Bowl. Was it 13-7?
Yes, because he wasn't as prolific. And I think a big part of that was, again, talking about growth.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Jared Goff, all three players had, like, not red flags, orange flags.
Yeah. And look,
orange flags, Goff, and figured it out.
Goff was 1-1, right? He came out, was the number one pick overall in his draft. And their team wasn't good. Their coaching was not anywhere near where it should be.
That is 7-9 bull.
Came from the same season that Jared Goff didn't know where the sun rose and set, even living in California his entire life. Seems like that's when you should know. When you live next to an ocean your whole life. I mean, I would actually be okay.
You should know which,
like,
direction it is.
If somebody in Nebraska was like, oh, I'd be like, all right. Yeah, I get it a little bit.
Yeah.
But when you live on a coast, it's like, yeah, that's west. Yeah. I know. Ocean there, sun down on it.
Yeah.
Right?
Easy enough.
You feels like
when
you
have the biggest ocean in the world miles away.
Yeah. You'd know that.
Right?
And you live there your entire life.
Look, I get it if you live in, like, the middle of Calgary.
Yeah.
Right. I get it if you live in Calgary.
Sure.
You're completely landlocked. You're up north. Days are weird.
Yeah. Goff, no. It's weird. But he went through L.A. They bring in Sean McVay, and McVay got all of the credit for that. And McVay deserved a ton of credit for that because the play calling, the scheming guys open, and making it easier for Jared Goff allowed them to succeed. I think the worst thing that happened for Jared Goff and his reputation not being able to rebound is the fact that after that Super Bowl, the Rams said, we need to upgrade the quarterback position. And they went and they got Matthew Stafford from Detroit, who everybody said throughout the entirety of his career is a really good quarterback that is just in a crappy franchise and on a crappy team. Right? And Stafford comes out to LA. They win a Super Bowl. They beat the Bengals in a Super Bowl. And all of a sudden, it's like, see, it was Jared Goff. He was the problem. But what everybody has ignored from that point is the growth that we've seen in Jared Goff as a quarterback. He's not a guy that's going to keep you honest with his legs.
Mm-mm.
He is.
In fact, he's not going to move in there at all.
No. But he got good coaching.
Mm-hmm.
He has a very bright offensive coordinator in Ben Johnson. He's got weapons galore now. The franchise invested the right way with having Taylor Decker, Frank Ragnow, Penei Sewell. You in the draft, they've built it up with Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams when he's not suspended or injured. They go out and they get Jahmyr Gibbs through the draft, David Montgomery in free agency. Like, they have built an offense around Jared Goff that accentuates his strengths. If your quarterback is not explosive, you sure as hell better get some guys around him that are, because the defense has got to be kept honest. And with guys like Gibbs, with the way they use Amon-Ra St. Brown, with the speed and verticality of Jameson Williams and how he can stretch a defense, you have accentuated the strengths of Jared Goff, and now he is thriving, and everybody's just like, well, it's still Jared Goff. He's really damn good.
It's that first impression.
Yeah.
That's what it is, and I think you could say the same is true for Jameis Winston, in the sense of, I think a lot of people still think of Jameis as Captain Crablegs, the interception machine.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still Jameis, and he's still goofy, and he's still weird, and all those kind of things. But he has turned himself into a functional quarterback who doesn't turn the ball over like his life depends on it. But when you make a lasting impression, good, bad, or otherwise, even in Jared Goff's case, where it's, I think the impression he made wasn't good or bad, but that it wasn't mm-hmm. good or bad. And a big part of that has to do with what pick was he?
Number one and overall.
When you don't live up to that billing, I think that's the more detrimental thing.
Yeah. And it's really weird to see, because
it's very dumb, but
there statistically his games look a lot like some of the greatest quarterbacks ever play. Literally. Like, if he has a game like he had their last game against Green Bay, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think he was 18 for 22 for 145 yards.
Because he didn't have to do anything because Green Bay was neutered to death.
But what did he do with his attempts? He went 18 of 22, and they won by two scores. Like, that is what guys like Tom Brady, Joe Montana, hell, Patrick Mahomes will do. If he's not going to throw for three bills, he's going to be wildly efficient, and when he throws the ball, he's getting the ball in the right spot. And it's crazy to see that. And I'm not saying that Jared Goff is Tom Brady or Joe Montana by any means, but you look at it and you go, people just think like he's still some sort of bum. And he's like a first round, that a number one overall pick that isn't going to work out. I think over the last 8 years, his career has done nothing but progress and go uphill. Mm-hmm. I mean, where has the downturn happened after they fired Jeff Fisher?
Yeah, no, I don't think there really has been one. And if you look at just kind of like year after year through it, you go, why isn't he getting that attention? Because it's not that he's just been successful. he's been successful with the worst franchise in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this should be, I think, a broader, deeper redemption story.
Yeah.
Because of what it is.
You know what organization needs to look into that?
Mm.
The Chicago Bears.
Ooh.
Because Detroit could never find a quarterback. Mm-hmm. They found a quarterback, still couldn't find a way. They had the best 1-2 combo quarterback receiver in the National Football League.
Can I introduce you to Matthew Stafford and Calvin Johnson?
That's pretty good, but they couldn't figure it out and they couldn't get out of their own way. Well, Brad Holmes is in at GM, Dan Campbell in at head coach, and everybody laughed at that. Nobody wanted that Detroit job. He goes out and hires Ben Johnson, and they stick to their process, and they go and they turn themselves into this dominant force. Right now, Chicago is doing the same stuff they've always done. It's the same stuff they did with Mitch Trubisky. It's the same stuff they did with Justin Fields, and they're doing it to Caleb Williams right now. And we thought, hey, maybe this is different because they actually went out, got weapons, and surrounded the rookie quarterback with guys that seemed functional. No, what you did wrong is that you still kept the same regime in charge, and nobody wants to coach with the dead man walking, and Matt Eberflus is a dead man walking.
I still think, to me, one of the most, I won't call it impressive, amazing stats in sports that I've ever heard, the Chicago Bears have never had a 30-touchdown passer in a season.
Or a 5,000 or
4,000-yard passer.
No.
You feel like at least once you'd kind of stumble ass backwards into that even.
The Raiders are the second worst quarterback franchise in the history of the NFL, but the Bears are number one by leaps and bounds. It doesn't make any sense why they have been so bad for so long.
Well, I will. The Browns, too. Browns still need to be in that.
But they've had a couple that were...
Bernie Kosar would like a word.
Look, I was going to say, Bernie Kosar is better than any quarterback.
Then I can say Rich Gannon. MVP.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
MVP, Rich Super Bowl.
The Raiders are right there. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But again, for 2 years. Well, three. But...
Brian Sipe?
It's like those guys are both better. So much better than any quarterback the Bears have ever had. It's insane.
Yeah.
And you're just like, how is that possible?
Well, Jim McMahon did help them win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, sure.
I'm not going to say he won them a Super Bowl.
So did Trent Dilfer with the Ravens. But it's like, you know, you were there.
Damn, that one hurt.
He's not wrong, though.
He's not wrong.
I mean,
He's not wrong.
If there's ever been
Jim
a participation
McMahon did with
trophy,
style.
Look, I'm just saying, if there's ever been a participation trophy in the NFL, that was it.
Yeah. This text during the Vancouver Ford text line, Cardinals are worse at quarterback. Well, Neil Lomax set records. Then they had Kurt Warner. Yeah,
and Kyler's better than any quarterback.
Kurt Warner, who took them to a good Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kyler Murray's still pretty good, too.
He's a... Yeah. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. He's a good athlete. I don't know that he's a good quarterback.
Well, I think he's a good quarterback, too.
Hell, Palmer.
Carson?
Carson Palmer was better for them than probably any Bears quarterback.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. It's not great in Arizona, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not great. Boy. If you look at excluding the Matt Ryan era, go take a look at the Atlanta Falcons, too.
Mike Vick had a decent time there.
Yeah.
He was pretty good.
Mike Vick couldn't throw, though.
True.
Because he never watched film.
Yeah. Well, he ran the S out of it.
He was so fun.
He ran the S out of it, and he'd throw it a country mile over the mountains over there.
Yeah. Carson Palmer finished second as the MVP in 2015, leading the 13-3 Cardinals.
Yeah.
He threw for 4,700 yards, 35 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions.
Yeah, see, that's better than anything that...
He literally broke two records a Bears quarterback has never done in the same season.
Yeah, there you go. And he's number three.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty good. That's pretty good. Pretty good. All right. Hey, let's get to the Blazers played last night.
They did.
It was exactly what we want to see. Mm-hmm. I think all Blazer fans can be happy with that one. Yeah. But
competing?
Competing, playing hard, playing like they were motivated.
Seeing some growth.
A lot of growth. And we saw Shaedon Sharpe next on The Fan.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Portland Trailblazers went down to San Antonio and found themselves 3-6. A 118-105 loss to the San Antonio Spurs that it didn't leave me feeling down on the game at all.
No, I mean, the big part of that is...
Perimeter shooting did, but other than that, it was... Yeah.
The return of Shaden Sharpe made this, like, fun and interesting and viable, and he gets out on the court, and then his first shot is a pull-up mid-range shot, which is kind of like the star shot, and it looks clean, soft, gentle, beautiful. And I say all that, like, kind of tongue-in-cheek, but also dead serious of, like, he has the markers of a guy who scores in the region that stars score in the area that you have to score in when they're running you off the three-point line and they're packing the paint. Can you take and make this shot? And that was his first shot of the season. It was his first shot in almost a year. Like, think about that for a second. Shaden Sharpe has not played basketball since January 10th.
Yeah. It's been 10 months.
It's been a long time since he's been on the basketball court, okay? And he went out there, plays 20 minutes, and you saw things that I don't think you could have been happier about. I think it was maybe the best possible outcome. Zero hesitancy. Challenges Wemby on a drive and finishes it off the very top of the glass after putting his shoulder into him and just incredible contortionist body control, soft touch finish. He hits the back cut for the dunk. He moves without the ball. He hits the catch and shoot three. He has a, oh my God, like the game was over at that point in time, but did you see the block he had?
No.
He just comes out of nowhere and reaches it after it's left the Spurs player's hand. And he just says, no, not today. And it was like one of those outlier, oh my God, athleticism moments.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had the play of the night for me. It was his best pass of his career.
The difficulty on that pass was 10 out of 10.
He put it in a window. It was, to go football analogy, he did what Dylan Gabriel did against Michigan and put it under a guy's arm.
And he threw it across the lane that was congested.
Threw two guys.
Kicked out to a very tough spot on the floor because it wasn't in the corner. It wasn't
smack in the middle of the floor.
Yeah, it's a tough pass to make.
Yeah.
That was a really good one. That was a great pass by Shade.
One-handed live dribble, look away, rip through the middle. I'm in my office at K2 and I literally jumped out of my chair and screamed a lot of things that I can't say on
the
radio.
You have an office at K2?
I do.
Your own office?
We share it.
Oh, so yeah. It's just a room that you guys watch a game in?
Well, no, it's actually the weirdly enough, I'm actually an employee.
Oh, look at that.
I'm a producer and talent there.
Wow, look at that.
I know, right?
Big time.
I know. But yeah, I'm actually technically a K2 employee.
All right.
But yeah, we were...
They're going to regret giving you an office.
No, they're not. Because having me in an office is a better thing. Because the office is right there next to the bullpen.
Yeah, probably better than just having him out running around loose.
Yeah, true. No, they can close the door on me.
You're like Omar Bradley, the tiger that LSU's bringing in.
100%. You don't want me just lurking the premises.
You don't want him out.
It's a big place, too.
Okay.
It's crazy. But you got everything I think you wanted to see out of Shaden Sharpe. Don't know if he's going to go tonight. I think he is. I think
they're in Minnesota.
Minnesota. Yeah, they turned and burned. They got out of San Antonio.
That is a brutal back to back location too. San Antonio to Minnesota. Usually it's like Houston or Dallas,
Oklahoma City
or OKC,
New Orleans.
Well, we're same time zone at least, right? Like, is it terribly different than Portland to LA or LA to Portland on a back to back?
It's more about dealing with those two airports, even when you're flying chartered. It's just a pain.
Yeah, I think that is further. Minneapolis to San Antonio.
Yeah, a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still the same time zone.
Yeah.
Which is weird because the game last night was on 5 local. It's going to be on 6 local tonight, even though they're in the same time zone because they're playing on Friday. But yeah, I think you saw last night what you're going to see basically night in, night out for the Portland Trailblazers.
And I like DeAndre Ayton offensively, too.
It's really nice when Anthony Simons throws him lobs, too.
Yeah.
Just hungry, hungry hippo, throw it up at the rim.
It's really hard to guard Victor Wembanyama. I think we learned that all year last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then again last night. But I thought Ayton did a good job offensively picking and choosing his spots because at 7'6", what is Wemby's... What is his wingspan?
His wingspan is 8 feet.
Yeah. Even if you are 7'1", it is hard to get a shot over him. Yeah. It's actually might be harder if you're that big because you're not used to having to float shots over a guy like that.
Have any kind of touch like that.
So, like, Ayton, it looked like he was finding soft spots and getting the ball out quick and trying to get anything that he could up, and I thought he was really effective in that.
I mean, he was effective. He was great on the glass. I thought DA had a really nice night, and he wasn't really part of the problem at all as far as Portland's offense. It was, and again, stop me if you've heard this before, it's a math problem.
Mm-hmm.
The Spurs get up 39 threes. The Blazers get up 32.
Yeah, we knew the Blazers can't shoot. They still can't
shoot. It's not that they can't.
And that's going to lose them games like this, which I'm totally okay with.
And this is what I've been saying all along. As feisty as they are defensively and aggressive as they are, what they didn't do last night, 7 steals, 3 blocks.
Hey, full transparency, I said this yesterday. It was going to be my second screen game.
Mm.
I wasn't paying like close to attention possession by possession, but there were a heck of a lot of times where I kept looking over and it seemed like there was like a backdoor cut. Or they were finding cutters and the defense was just like ball watching.
The Spurs are, they're in a really good spot kind of going forward, obviously with Wemby, but it's not that they have a bunch of, they aren't the Celtics of like, they've got 5 guys that can all dribble pass shoot and like take advantage of mismatches. They have a bunch of secondary creators and they were doing this last night without Jeremy Sochan or Devin Vassell.
I was going to say, do they have a real point guard yet?
I mean, they have Chris Paul and then Steph.
Oh, I forgot about Chris Paul.
But they also
yeah,
have,
all right.
But they also have Steph Castle. And that's the thing. And you had last night Blake Wesley with 8 assists. Like, look, they had 35 assists last night. And if you go down the list, 8 for Wesley, 6 for Castle, 6 for Paul, 3 for Branham, Zach Collins, and Keldon Johnson. Like, they don't have a ton of, like, natural creators outside of Chris Paul.
Yeah.
But they've got a metric crap ton of secondary creators, guys that keep the ball moving, the ball pops around. And now a big part of that is assists are not always an indication of good offense as much as it is an indication of good shooting. Like, last night, Zach Collins, the Blazers said, we dare you to hit shots. And you know what Zach Collins did? He hit shots. He had 14 points in 15 minutes. That's the difference in this game. That's quite literally the difference in this game. And you look at,
see him do that kind of thing in Portland.
I know. I had a couple people send me some text along that last line. I'm like, yeah, the Blazers are daring Zach Collins to hit shots. The problem is Zach Collins is hitting shots. The other thing was the Blazers uncharacteristically missed quite a bit of free throws. But you take a look at it. Portland shot 48% from the field and lost.
Yep, I'm okay with that.
But this is kind of what you...
Because they allowed 54% shooting from the opponent.
And I don't think it was necessarily Portland playing poorly defensively as much as San Antonio executed like a... Honestly, like a Spurs team.
Yeah.
They looked... Again, this isn't the 2014 Spurs, but a lot of the same principles. And I think what Chris Paul does is get them a level of competency of getting into and executing that is... In the same way Danny Avdia is kind of responsible, I think, for the Blazers pushing the pace and being more physical and more aggressive, he's their bell cow in that vein. Chris Paul is that as far as reinforcing the positive playmaking stuff.
Two final notes that I have Are we going to see less of Scoot Henderson?
He had an okay game last night. Played 20 minutes, 11 points, 3 assists, cleaner floor game, only 2 turnovers, but
I don't think the stat line really the picture that you're getting, he's looking less comfortable almost.
I thought last night his energy was better than the last couple of games. The last couple of games he's pretty listless.
Maybe sick or something.
And that's the thing is that, you know, you always kind of throw that out there and you can't really go game to game. You have to kind of take a step back and look at like 5-10 game chunks to kind of see. But I wouldn't be surprised if he was frustrated right now because he probably wants more minutes. He wants more opportunity. But the problem is, and this for everybody who's screaming, Scoot and Shaden and Klingon need to start, one guy on that list is both capable of starting and being productive in that starting spot, and that's Shaden Sharpe. Mm-hmm. Donovan Klingon is not there yet. You saw him last night. He, oh boy, just running up and down, and you could see him. He was huffing and puffing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's going to hit that 30-game wall. Right on schedule for that rookie wall.
Also, Time Lord.
I think he's going to go tonight.
Dead or alive?
I think he's going to go tonight.
Alive.
I think that's the plan.
Okay.
So, Minnesota's got a few more bigs, like more traditional, and Gobert and Naz Reid and Julius Randle, which I think makes things a little bit easier to deal with. But also, Chauncey's dealing with having too many guys who genuinely need to play.
Yeah.
Ryan Rupert got the Noah Vonleh kind of treatment. Played the 7-minute stint in the first half, and that was it.
Yeah.
And so, but holistically, if you take a step back and you're looking at everything the Blazers are, this is kind of what you want to see. You see development. You see growth. You see Shaden Sharpe go out there. You see him look productive. You see Klingon get some run against Wemby. You see Tumani Kamara. You see Denny Avdia.
Denny Avdia looked okay.
I thought, again, it was his best game so far as a Blazer. Okay. And not necessarily just the production, but like the feel.
Yeah.
He looked like he was significantly more in the flow of the game. But
did he hit a shot?
He did.
He did.
He did. Nice.
He did. A 3.
I heard that's big in basketball.
It's super useful. But
Okay, go ahead.
I was saying they lost the game. So now they're 3-6. Yeah. And they're probably gonna lose tonight. And they're gonna end this stretch where everybody's like, oh my god, they're winning too much. And they're gonna be 3-7. Yeah, 3-7.
Yeah.
In the first 10 games.
Last note on that game, Julian Champagny is a fun name to say.
I mean, if you want to talk about fun names to say on that team,
I mean,
Wembanyama, yeah. Julian Champagny, Sandro Mamukashvili.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't try to say that one.
Right? That's why they call him Mamu.
But anytime I heard Champagny, I was like, isn't that that's a great name.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because you're just anticipating champagne. Mm-hmm. And they're like, nope, Champagny.
We're going to add a little
yeah.
to the end of it.
Yeah, great name.
Apropos of nothing, if we're just talking about fun names to say.
Yep.
Apparently, I don't know if this is on Basketball Reference or what, but somebody has put up a nickname for Nikola Vucevic.
Okay.
Vucci Mane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I think that's actually an ESPN one.
Is it?
I think that might be an SVP special.
I had never seen the Vucci Mane.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Vucci Mane.
Yeah. I think that's one of the ESPN guys that came up with that one back when they were allowed to have nicknames still.
Or I was going to say when they were allowed to have
personality.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, those.
Yeah. I think we need Julian Champagny needs a nickname. I mean, you could call him Bubbly.
Yeah, I was going to say Bubbly. Yeah. Prosecco.
You're going full Cedric the Entertainer there and going, I am not calling a grown man Bubbly.
Yeah, nope, I will. But Champagny's just too fun to say.
It is.
I think you're a no nickname guy at that point. Well, Champagny.
Do you go by Jules?
Jules Champagny.
Just call him Brute.
Yep.
There you go. That works.
Yep. I mean, Pop, a wine guy, do you think he's like looking down at the draft board and being like, yeah, that's our guy?
Yeah.
He's going on the list trying to find a guy named Vino.
Yeah. He's looking
like,
for
are you
Merlot.
Actually from France or are you just a sparkling wine?
Yeah. Nope. Staten Island. Okay. Little bit of a difference.
Yeah. Definitely not growing off the vine there. All right, coming up next on our worst day on the web, what the hell is going on in Florida? I mean, that doesn't really narrow it down. That's kind of half the fun. But first, it's Big Kahuna Sports Center Update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
That sucks.
Billy Napier not the biggest problem at the University of Florida right now. After getting the dreaded vote of confidence just yesterday, which we didn't get to, he is now getting swept under the rug because Florida's basketball program is being hit with some wild allegations. The reporting being done by the Alligator, the Florida, University of Florida student paper.
Yeah. Well, probably because nobody else would pick it up.
There's been a couple of these that have popped up over the last couple of years where student papers have really broken things open.
Yeah, this is actually kind of how it used to be, in that student newspapers used to be the ones that would get more of the salacious stories because people start talking, people start peeking around, looking around, and journalism professors, they don't care. They want you to get real life experience. And sometimes the real life experience is alienating a business or an entity that you have developed relationships with when you are a journalist, right?
Or that may have some sort of power.
Part of journalism is building relationships with the understanding that, hey, I'm going to be fair, neutral, and I'm going to report the news. And so, like, this kind of actually gives me hope that we are going down the road of getting back to a more traditional journalistic realm, in that, like, the reporters that are actual journalists and not just, I think we think of television and radio people as journalists. They're not. We know journalists.
You're telling I'm not a journalist?
You are not a journalist.
I've had this discussion. Does anybody, do I think I'm a journalist? I go, no, I am media.
You can write, but you are not a journalist. And this is a student newspaper that, boy, there's going to be some pissed off people at the University of Florida about this, but that's part of the gig. That's part of what you sign up for if you're going to try to make this your career. And it oftentimes it launches these student reporters into careers because major outlets look at it and say, you're not going to be afraid to report the story that's going to be a hard one to report because going to your college, you went there for a reason. You like the University of Florida. You went there because of what it offered you and the attraction to it. And this reporter is, in all likelihood, going to get the basketball coach fired, the athletic director fired. A lot of Board of Regents are going to be upset that this is being reported on because this is a concerted effort at this point not to talk about it.
Yeah, 100%.
Because if you don't know, Todd Golden, the basketball coach, has been accused of stalking and sexual harassment of University of Florida female students.
And it's so much worse than it sounds.
It is. And this goes back to a Title IX complaint filed against Golden on September 27th. So we've gone over a month now and haven't heard boo out of it.
And the student paper is the one that breaks it.
The student paper is the one to break it.
And what it outlined was that basically Golden is a predator.
Yeah, and apparently some people from his staff as well. No,
but it said one woman told the paper he stalked her more than 10 times and he messaged her on Instagram saying he was waiting for her after she publicly posted her location. As bad as that sounds, it starts with the process would begin on IG and eventually escalated to where Golden would allegedly send unwanted photos of his genitals.
While on road trips with the team. They talked to two students that went on the record for this anonymously. And they said that they're the ones that are filing the Title IX lawsuit. And there are more. And that it isn't just Todd Golden, but apparently there's other members of the staff. One of the women said, I think it's just a sick effing joke they're all doing within that organization. All the coaches, they probably get off by showing each other the pictures. There's something effing sick going on there. Uh-oh.
That's not good. When you would think by now, we as a society would have learned the unsolicited D-pics.
Not
good, Bob.
Nah, I think most people in the sports world should have picked up on that over a decade ago when Brett Favre was sending little Brett pics on like the first iteration of camera phones, which could not have been flattering. but apparently Golden is sending these pictures over Instagram, and they're saying that he uses his power and his leverage at the university to manipulate these young women into thinking that they can't do anything about it. Well, they said, the hell with that. Well, we're going to do something about it.
Yeah. It's not like he has a certain more amount of power, I guess, over his players. But yeah, random co-eds, no, they don't answer to him in any regard.
No.
Again, why is a coach sending any? Why are you
one married with two kids?
Yeah, to college co-eds.
Yes. That's not good.
Mm-mm. What the hell are you doing, dude? What are you doing? Like, look, this is this is not excusing it. Do not take that for this. But this is the seedy underbelly of the quasi-professional realm, and it gets even worse in the professional realm of how a lot of these relationships, particularly people in power, and there are, people are going to take this the wrong way. There are women that not only allow it, they seek it out.
Yeah.
And it does not make it okay what he's doing.
No, because this is apparently
unwanted
into a lot of young women around the University of Florida.
But my point being, like, this is not, this disgustingly happens, and it's shouldn't, and it needs to stop.
And it's not just in sports. It's in lots of
entertainment. You get in the, as I'm saying, where
Louis
you
C.K. anyone?
These power structures that exist, and it's like, guys, it's not that hard.
Mm-hmm.
Don't send D-pics unless somebody asks you for them. Look, we don't kink shame on this show, but like,
I never have understood the sending the D-pics though.
Well, I mean,
you don't want to see that.
Unless you're Jason Siegel. Have you ever heard that story?
No.
This is going to be a total deviation. He got Harrison Ford. He had never met Harrison Ford. He's doing that new show with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Shrink.
And he had never met him, but they wanted to get him for the show. And like one of the producers said, hey, we'd love to get you for this. And Harrison Ford had no idea who Jason Siegel was. But obviously in Forgetting Sarah Marshall, he does the full frontal nudity. And he, after watching the movie, Harrison Ford replied to the producer and said, I love him. I'm in. Also tell him he's got a great D. And Jason Siegel has the text printed out and framed in his house.
Yes, I would too.
If Harrison Ford told me I've got a great D.
Indiana Jones, Han Solo.
Right.
Compliments my hog.
Yeah. And Jack Ryan.
Right. In that case, then maybe.
Yeah.
Then maybe. You perhaps send an unsolicited D pic, but even then, you don't do it.
Well, I don't think you do it in that. He's already seen it,
but
he's already impressed by it.
But what you do is you send it with the message that says, "Hey, Harrison Ford is very impressed by my junk."
No, Harrison Ford's stamp of approval.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. Again, I'm not trying to make light of this because this it's so stupid because that we have to even have this conversation. You're a college basketball coach. Why are you sending D picks to college students?
You went back to it though. You touched on this earlier. It is the fact that they have been allowed that power and they are power hungry, and oftentimes a lot of people seek it out from them.
Mm-hmm.
And in those situations, they often rebuff it because they think they're going to get caught. But then it gets to them to a point where they start doing this all the time. It's creepy. It's predatory.
Yes.
And what is going to be the fallout of this? Dude, all heads are going to be rolling.
I mean, if the students have the pictures and the text messages, he's fried.
He's doing it on Instagram, so it's on there. It's on there.
It reminds me of the old Seinfeld episode where Jerry had the girlfriend that liked to be naked all the time. And for some reason, it would kind of bugged him because there was good naked and bad naked. And then he started doing the naked thing. And Elaine basically said, no, the male body, it's like a Jeep. It's utilitarian. It's for getting around.
Mm.
Nobody wants to see that.
Nobody wants to see that, no. This is serious, though. And Todd Golden is still coaching and has been coaching.
Why he's
despite
not, yeah.
the fact that this was filed on September 27th.
Why he's not away on leave is...
I was going to say, yeah, why, or at least not fired yet, well, because they're covering their asses.
Well, yeah, so, the legal part of this is he should be away on leave.
You know, pending investigation.
Yeah. And Scott Strickland is the athletic director. He's the one that hired him. He's already fired his women's basketball coach after, I think it was abusive behavior and bullying in the women's basketball program. You have the Billy Napier-esque show that's going on the football field, and now they're going, yeah, we're going to keep him. Well, it's probably because he's the guy that you can't fire right now. And by some accounts, one of the reasons Billy Napier is coming back mm-hmm. is because of the NIL deals that are tied to the young players on the team. And Billy Napier is a big part of that, and they'll have to pay out if he leaves. Oops. And the players leave. So it's an S show at Florida.
Sounds like Florida has a larger problem than just Golden, and it's probably the AD.
I would say so. Well, their university president mm-hmm. has stepped down. They've got an interim president who's the former. And look, let's not make any mistake about this, that the University of Florida Athletic Department has been able to run roughshod and without consequence for decades now. I mean, did anybody watch the Netflix doc on Florida?
Mm.
Where even when they were trying to whitewash it and make it rosy,
it was still bad.
Yes. Like Aaron Hernandez and the Pouncey brothers.
Mm-hmm. How many coats of paint can we possibly put on this?
Not enough.
And everybody got done watching. It's like,
gross.
And that was you guys trying to make this look the best you possibly could?
Right.
And that's what you guys came up with?
God.
I guess I was wondering.
Can you imagine that locker room? Tim Tebow and those guys?
Oh, golly gee, guys.
Yeah.
was Percy on that team, too?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, my God. Yeah.
I was wondering, too. I thought I had seen that Billy Napier had some big, large, giant buyout, but apparently it's only $26 million.
I mean, that's not
which
nothing.
Which is nothing. In that conference, it is.
Sure, but I mean, it's still... I mean, it's not Jimbo. Like, everybody looks at it in the sense of, like, Jimbo Fisher's buyout, but that's still not something you want to, you know, deal with.
Yeah, you don't want to deal with
$25 million, still $25 million. But there you go. That's our worst day on the web. It's a complete S show at Florida. Beyond Billy Napier right now has got to be thrilled about everything else going on around him because it's allowed him to kind of sulk into the shadows.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
There's your silver lining.
God. There's no silver lining
here. It's lead.
Oh, boy.
Good Lord. All right, come up next. The Philadelphia Eagles, they can't stay out of their own way. It's something as simple as just maintaining an injury report and being honest, but that's actually a problem now. We'll get to that here next on Danny Dusty, 1080 The Fan. Look, this is probably looking too deeply into things, but when you start, it's one of those things where, like Florida we were just talking about, when you look under the hood because there's some problems, you start looking around at everything else, and more problems become more evident as you start shining flashlights around, which is why you don't ever want to have the reason to look under the hood in the first place. And we did that to start the season with the full-on profile of the Philadelphia Eagles, Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts basically hating each other, the void of leadership with Jason Kelce leaving the team, Fletcher Cox leaving the team, and you looked at kind of where they were and the dysfunction that was happening. And now they're kind of finding a little bit of rhythm, but then you had Sirianni barking at fans, and now you've got Sirianni and a PR rep for the Eagles being asked by a reporter about the availability and health of Jalen Hurts. And listen to this word salad.
We haven't really seen Jalen be held back for load management before. What was behind that? I don't know, Wednesday?
Yeah, you know, he's dealing with it was on the injury report, dealing with that. With the ankle and, you know, just making sure we're precautious with everything.
What's wrong with the ankle?
He wasn't on the ankle.
I'm sorry, Jalen Hurts. It was an ankle?
What's that?
It was the rest.
That was the rest, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry.
No problem.
I thought you were talking about something else. All right.
Is Jalen dealing with an ankle problem?
No, rest.
That's the old Adam Devine whoopsies.
In other words, yeah, Jalen Hurts hurt his ankle and we've been lying about it.
Yeah.
It's just God, I'm so sick and tired of this. Just put people on the bleeping injury report when you're supposed to put them down with what they have, for the love of God.
Nope, never going to get it. And guess what? The team will get fine. It's never going to change. There are so many injuries in the NFL that we have no idea about.
God.
And we're supposed to know. You're supposed to know any guy gets bad eyes for something. You're supposed to get that. But it's amazing that we find out on the injury report, because they put some guys in, they put some guys not on. You know, it is what it is. We have ankle injuries on the Eagles this week. On Wednesday, the day in question,
mm-hmm.
you had Mekhi Becton.
Mm-hmm. Not Jalen Hurts.
Aeneas Smith, definitely wide receiver.
Not Jalen Hurts.
That's it.
Oh, okay.
Those are guys with ankle injuries.
And he knew exactly the whole, like, oh, I thought you were talking about something else. It's like he's just trying to cover his backside there. It's like you had PR. We went over this, Nick. It was rest.
Yeah.
Well, air quotes.
In defense of Nick Sirianni, no matter what it was on Wednesday that held him out, this is where the NFL, this is where you get the truth out of it, right? Whether they are not on the injury report, they're fully healthy, ready to go. Nobody is fully healthy, ready to go right now. But limited participation to full participation. That's where you truly learn what's going on with guys. And both Thursday and Friday, Jalen Hurts has been 100% ready to go. He's been a full participant in both days, but he was listed on the injury report for a rest day, as was Saquon Barkley. And the way that those guys play, the hits that they get, of course, there is a ton that's adding up for both of those guys. It's week 10. Of course these guys are going to get dinged up. But the stupidity of saying, oh, yeah, ankle, and then the PR guy going, are you serious right now? Like, he's listed as rest. That is where the you can't fix stupid, you can't get out of your way, continues to hurt and haunt Nick Sirianni.
You serious, Clark?
Look, it's to be blunt, this is why the Trailblazers obfuscate the entire process.
Yeah.
And again, they're not the only ones. But that's why you have tendinopathy appear.
Yep.
And that's why Shaedon Sharpe, there was, between the time he got injured, when the injury report came out on October 5th or 6th, there was no actual update. But what I've been saying for the last 2 weeks, Shaedon is working his way back, and that's because of relationships, and that's that side of it, of like knowing he's coming back. I know he's coming back, but without the team saying anything, I can't say he's coming back, and he's going to be back in the next day or two. Because you need to have something to actually go off of, because that's the way this all works. And the same thing in the NFL, where he's asking that knowing full well that Jalen Hurts, he's heard from somebody that Jalen Hurts is dinged up. And you get down this path of like, oh yeah, no, he wasn't actually dinged. And it's just like, why are we doing this game when we know, but we can't say what we know because there's no actual background to fall back on.
Especially with your quarterback. The Justin Herbert play against the Saints is why.
Absolutely ratcheting on his ankle.
They do not want anybody to know that your quarterback is dinged up in any capacity, because the first chance that anybody gets,
they're going
to
ratchet on whatever it is.
Yeah. Whether it's in clear, plain sight, or you try the tush push and you have a pile and a mass of humanity.
Boom. Going right
but
for it.
They don't need to know which ankle it is.
It's going for one of them.
They are going to go at both of them, and they're going to try to get him out of the game. That's part of football. And that's why, because of sports gambling, everybody's like, yeah, they've got to tell the truth on these injury reports. What are they doing here? What are they here for? Well, you're never going to get an honest assessment. You never will get an honest assessment, because the federal government isn't going to step in. They won't.
Until there's some gambling scheme that comes about because of...
Well, even then, they're not going to step in. They're not going to wreck the NFL because of it. What is going to be the biggest thing that happens out of this? The
Eagles are probably fined.
They're going to get... Well, the Eagles are going to get fined right now.
Yeah.
You know, probably $50,000, which goes to a charity run by the NFL, which probably...
It's
will be pumped back from a charitable contribution to from the NFL to a local Philadelphia area mm-hmm. that the Eagles are probably going to match.
Yeah.
And they were going to give that money anyways.
They just do it earlier.
That's where fines go, by the way.
Yeah.
Fines go to charity in the NFL. So, and then the NFL will be like, we fined them. We gave them their slap on the wrist. Federal government, go take a hike. Because the reality of it is, they don't care about you, the gambler.
No.
They're already giving you enough.
And my whole pushback on this is when it comes back to bite books. And they have their own hooks into what's actually going on with every team and every sport.
The books know.
But that's part of the problem is that the books know and the public don't.
Yeah.
And that's...
That has been the history of sports gambling, mm-hmm. folks.
And that's where the interesting part of this. And speaking of, you know, ratcheting on quarterbacks, it's a big-time college football weekend.
Huge.
And Indiana getting their first real test taking on Michigan and some playoff eliminators. Is somebody going to ratchet on old Curtis Rourke's hand as he's making a nice little play out there against Michigan? We'll get to that here in hour number 3 on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.